Hello, I'm Michelle de Gouveia and I'm back with Kinga Litinska, the author of India, Same Same But Different, and the laureate of the Arkady Fiddler competition for the Amber Butterfly, a Polish literary award for her debut travel book, China Beyond Belief. Welcome back, Kinga.
Hello.
Now, when we last spoke, you were comparing Chinese and Indian culture and people. Could you compare the Chinese and Indians in terms of social skills? I mean, are they talkative, reserved, bold or shy? What is their attitude towards tourists?
Well, I would say that Indians are not only more open or bolder than the Chinese, but they are the most straightforward, talkative and unreserved people I've ever met in my travels. Really. So what is similar? I'd say that both Indians and the Chinese greet almost every white face they pass with a welcoming hello, hello, and then they ask for photos, you know, straight away, photo, selfie, okay? So they stop you and put their babies into your arms, who immediately, straight away, burst into tears. So imagine you're holding a crying baby scared of you because you look different and you're posing for a family photo. It's hilarious. Everyone is smiling in the photo and the baby has a cranky face.
Right. The baby doesn't want to be with you, but the parents do.
Exactly. What else? Both nations will gladly help you find your way when you're lost. They even take you to where you want to go to make sure that you won't get lost. Nice.
Nice, right? But you wouldn't find it happening in my country.
Well, exactly. But don't get too excited. Now, the difference is that Indians will charge you for it. Mm. Alternatively, they will offer to be your guide for the day, for the whole day, and show you around. And they say that they have nothing else planned. Try to decline and they will insist till you agree. Mm-hmm. Then they will ask you for a tip. And you offer 50 rupees, they ask for 100. But then you give them 100 and guess what?
They ask for two?
Exactly, they ask for two. It's a never-ending story.
Well, it seems like too much is never enough.
No, not in India. The Chinese are much more reserved and shy, whereas Indians approach you without hesitation. But they're not just sociable. Indians will enter your room, hotel room, simply to ask, well, in Hindish, of course, what your good name is. Has anyone ever asked you what your good name is?
My good name? No.
My goodness, no, they didn't. Well, that's probably because you haven't been to India. And then they will shake your hand, squeezing it till you practically have to pull away. But you know, that's not it. It's not only their persistent look and body contact. No. Indian males pop up out of the blue like a jack in the box. Ta-da! Here I am. Mm-hmm. You know, they join you when you're on the way to a supermarket and bombard you with personal questions about your family, age, marital status, parents, children, or, you know, even what you're gonna buy in this supermarket or eat for dinner. And if they can join you.
That's just crazy.
Right. You see, the company of an Indian will make you feel cornered, even if you think that you found a secluded place on the beach.
How? Mm. How?
Well, how? Well, okay. On an empty beach, having any other spot at his disposal, an Indian male will sit right next to you like it was peak season on the French Riviera. Unbelievable. And I'm sure that he will do it both out of curiosity and out of habit. You know, that's life. That's what he's used to. Mm. In a country like India, with too many people, you know, personal space doesn't exist. It just doesn't exist, even in the toilet.
The toilet?
Well, yes. And believe it or not, it's hard to say whether it's bad or good.
So it might be good then. How can that be good?
Well, it might be a godsend, you know. Indian toilets are a challenge. So now, they are boiling hot, cramped, stinky, and smeared with a variety of unknown delights, including the walls. Since there are no bins, in the corners, stuff just you'd rather not think of piles up. And they are always busy, never cleaned, you know. Anyways, the story is that it was my first day in India, and it was too late. It was too late, you know, when I realized that I'd forgotten toilet paper.
Oh no.
I don't even know how that happened, but it just did.
Mm-hmm.
So imagine, I'm nervous, covered in sweat. I dive inside my little bag, which, by the way, I'm still keeping on my back, because the floor is wet, you know, and guess what happens? You'll never guess.
No, tell me what?
Suddenly, the door opens, because the lock is broken, so I couldn't, you know, latch it, and through the gap, the waiter's hand with toilet paper slips in. How about that?
That's absolutely fantastic.
Well, I must say that at that moment, as much as I was shocked, I was very grateful too, you know. I was simply relieved.
I can imagine. That's a different kind of room service. That's a very funny story. But I guess that India can also be dangerous. Am I right?
Dangerous? Not really, no. You see, despite the alarming statistics and shameful opinion that India has earned, I must admit that I felt safe even when traveling alone. In India's defense, I can say that a lot of people confuse the notion of danger, right? Danger, what is dangerous, with otherness, being different or being pushy. And these cannot be equaled.
Mm.
They are not the same. They're completely different, like,
right.
Now India, same, same, but different.
Yeah.
I don't know how to explain that. I'd say that Indian men might be rough, tend to be intrusive, but I socialized with them for almost a year, and I wouldn't go as far as to, you know, label them as dangerous, right? So regardless of whether you take this unusual, you know, palette of Indianess with the stoic calm of a sacred cow, you can say, or perhaps the agitation of an angry bull, none of these behaviors qualify as aggressive, you know. I wouldn't say so. But at the same time, perhaps it cannot be ruled out that that Indian men might treat foreign women differently from compatriots.
Mm, that's true.
That's now, possible.
Kinga, just you mentioned a sacred cow.
Right.
I've always wanted to know, why are cows sacred in India?
Well, cow protection is a gift of Hinduism to the world, Mahatma Gandhi used to say. He said that Hinduism will stay alive as long as Hindus protect cows.
Mm.
And really nothing reflects Hindus' religious beliefs more accurately than Indian streets. Let me refer to China again, where I spent over 3 years.
Right.
On a Chinese train, no matter how crowded it may be, a trolley from a restaurant car will pass through with success, you know. Let's take the Philippines. On a jeepney, packed with people from top to bottom, you know, you will easily find your seat, even if it's on a stranger's lap.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you get on, you're tired, and woof, you sit down on someone's lap. Not a big deal. Have you ever tried that in England?
In England, really? Impossible.
Well, possible. You know, when you travel the world, everything is possible. Well, probably not in India. Well, definitely not in India. But, you know, in a faraway exotic place that you would never think that such a situation would happen, it will. I bet it will.
Yes.
So in India, there will always be space for a cow. And it's not just any space. It's not just any space. It's a place of honor,
mm-hmm.
right in the middle of a circle. So can you imagine a cow traffic officer directing the vehicles sitting snugly right on the road in the middle of everything, of all this mess and commotion? Just hilarious.
Mm-hmm.
I remember when I saw it for the first time, Bertha's resting on the road. They completely paralyzed the traffic, you know.
Kinga, hold on. Yeah. Bertha's. Mm. Now, who are Bertha's?
Who are Bertha's? The cows, of course. In India, sacred cows are as important as people, or even more. On many occasions, you know, I got the feeling that they got more respect and attention than I did.
Right.
So I gave them this name, just for fun, you know. They are heavy, bulky, so I thought that Bertha would be an ideal name for a cow. Don't you think?
Yes, I agree.
Perfect, right? So I used to watch them daily with amusement, I must add. Of course, some people, one or the other, honk now and again, but, you know, the hangover of noises bombarding both humans and animals made the sound of, like, one single horn, you know, go completely unnoticed.
Yes.
You know, now the funniest thing to watch though is people trying to chase the cows away. What a race! Have you ever seen a running cow, by the way?
No, I didn't even think they could run. Can they?
Right. Oh, yes. Come to India, and you'll see. Bertha in a panic looks super amusing. You know, super. Because although she tries her best to be fast, she's heavy. So she's slow and clumsy anyway.
Now, even with these body parts, slow,
yeah.
clumsy,
yeah.
why are they still considered sacred?
Okay, so they are sacred because on the peninsula, the cow is the eighth incarnation of God Vishnu. And he established a special position for himself in Indian mythology.
Mm-hmm.
So its symbolism is hidden in the beliefs dating back to ancient Aryan times. I found it out from a man who made me a business offer, very lucrative one, you know.
A business offer?
Yes. He asked me if I wanted to buy his cow.
To buy his cow?
Yep. A living business, he said. She gives 20 liters of milk a day and feeds herself. So what else would you want, right? and it eats whatever's been thrown away on the ground by the stallkeepers, he said. I asked him why cows are kept in cities, because that is interesting, isn't it? Why not in the countryside,
yeah.
where they would be much better off? And he told me that for Hindus, the cow is the mother of India, a holy creature, the first of all beings from which others were born.
What?
Surprised, huh?
Yes, yes.
Well, again, in Hindu mythology, the cow appeared through the god Brahma, who turned into a bull.
Mm.
That's how the first woman became a cow. And then, through the act of procreation, they gave life to all cattle. This is how the first cow was born, the mother of all animals.
No, I didn't know that.
Mm.
Do you have any other facts you can share about cows?
Sure. Did you know that during the national festival, Holi, cow urine is poured in front of houses to bless the households? I saw this custom in a holy town of Hampi in the east.
Mm.
That's interesting, isn't it?
Yes.
And now I'll shock you.
Okay, shock away.
Ready?
I'm ready.
Ready for more cow urine facts?
Yes.
Cow urine is not only used for external purposes. No. Outside of a temple in, I guess it was Mumbai, I remember that I bought a bottle of this sacred drink, which, according to Hindus, has many beneficial properties.
Well, such as?
such as aiding digestion, but don't forget to drink it before breakfast on an empty stomach. Remember that when you try?
Really?
No food before it. No, really? No. Well, I don't dare to undermine this theory, but focusing exclusively on its taste, okay, I barely managed to drink half the bottle, which Isa can't believe to date.
Well, I can't either. Tell me, how big was this bottle?
It was about half a liter.
And you drank it?
Yes.
How did it taste?
How did it taste? Like pee. Oh, terrible. Well, never tried mine though, but so it's quite hard to compare. But I had to try it. I always try new, weird and wonderful things. This is my travel rule number two.
Number two? Well, could you remind us, what is number one?
Number one, make the road your destination. Meaning enjoy the ride, the moment. Don't wait, you know, till what will happen at the end, because nothing might happen.
Right.
Nothing might happen. But you miss all those exciting, funny, or maybe shocking and sad, frustrating perhaps, but real things in between. I simply say weird and wonderful experiences that come along the way. It's all bonus.
Mm-hmm.
So when it comes to traveling, you know, I don't have expectations, or not too many. So I'm very rarely disappointed with my destination. If my destination is not attractive enough, is not beautiful, not postcard perfect, you know.
Yeah. So
you know what I mean?
I've got to say this. I'm guessing that the taste of cow urine didn't disappoint you either?
Oh, absolutely not. Here we go. Here is my rule number three.
I've got to hear this. Please, rule number three.
It's be ready for the worst and hope for the best. You can't go wrong on that, can you?
No, I'll definitely remember that.
Yeah.
Right, so Kinga, I have to ask you, did you buy that cow?
Well, nope, it was too expensive, you know, $3,000 only.
Only?
Yeah,
only?
That's what he said, only.
What do you mean by that, only?
Okay, so now in India, only is a magic word. You know, America is one and only is another.
Uh-huh.
So only became our travel friend and didn't give up on us even once. Very loyal friend, I must say, you know. A train station, bazaar or temple, it doesn't matter. The advertising slogan, only $1.99, let's say, that uses only to emphasize how low the price is. And tell people, you know, to buy it. In India, has found a safe place on official documents and even invoices. No matter how much milk, a dress, or let's say a bus ride costs, only will be there on your receipt or ticket, suggesting basically that your purchase is cheap.
Mm. So there is only on a price tag.
And the receipt the cashier hands you. However, you see, only can also be used in a different context, meaning too little. Mm. It's not uncommon that an Indian will try to manipulate you before you even realize that his original pay-as-you-wish in fact means a lot more. more than you're able to offer. And I'd say that definitely more than any offering that you can make, that's for sure.
Mm.
Mm. For example, in a Hindu temple, okay, you enter a Hindu temple and a Brahmin wraps a piece of wool around your wrist, okay, and then he says it's your lucky charm.
Mm-hmm.
That happened to me, and then he encouraged me to put some change for the collection plate.
Hmm.
But when I put 20 rupees, he said, "Only, madam?" in capital letters, right? Only?
Now I'm understanding.
With like big surprise on his face. So consequently, after 4 months of traveling around India, my friend and I just picked up some Indianess, mm-hmm. and then we started using it between us as a joke, you know.
Oh, give me some examples, please.
Okay, let's take the Indian Railway.
Right.
Okay. As you can imagine, or not, you know, it's a land of bureaucracy and chaos. We were sent from one place to another, but finally we found the right line corresponding to our destination.
Mm-hmm.
And the space between the ticket office and where we stood was filled with a crowd 10 times worse than at Chinese stations. And at the windows, you know, there were big groups of yelling men who jostled like in play school, elbowing mm-hmm. each other, you know, one another, trying to stick some forms through tiny barred, you can say, prison-like gaps.
Mm.
Everyone tried to push in, be the first. Scuffle, riffraff, oh God.
Mm-hmm.
But no worries, at many stations, stick wardens keep the peace.
Stick wardens?
Exactly. I gave them the name, another name, you know, I came up with.
Good.
I must say that I'm very proud of my terminology, so aptly chosen.
Aptly chosen, undoubtedly. So tell us more, who are the stick wardens?
Stick wardens, okay. So they are officials equipped with...
I'd like to guess, yeah. I'd say with sticks.
Bingo, sticks. Thick wooden sticks resembling baseball bats. So, they swing them now and again, you know, sending the more enraged people to the end of the line. The whole cavalcade, you know. And because of that, at Indian train stations, you feel either like you're in jail
mm-hmm.
or at a baseball stadium, right?
No, that is a very good comparison.
Thank God, many stations have a special counter, a window with a sign. Now, mm-hmm. the sign reads, separate queue for women, old people, physically ailing, and tourists. How funny is that? So we read the sign, and Isaac said to me, for the first time in my life, I'd like to be a woman. So I said, well, sadly, you're only a man.
You know? Using the very Indian only.
Yep, exactly. However, the difference was that at that moment, it was very aptly used. Mm. As in India, males traveling solo are probably in the worst position, I must say. It's much easier for a couple to obtain tickets when a woman can make a purchase for two. So... anyways, I said, well, you're not a woman, but fortunately, you're a tourist. how funny that tourists are put in the same basket with women and disabled people. Right, my friend noticed. And disabled people, how accurate that is,
he accurate. Said. Yeah. I'm not too sure why you would use the word accurate.
Why accurate? Well, after all, if he was without me, he'd be crawling to reach the window at the same pace as a man in a wheelchair. That's why.
Well, I must admit, it looks like a good sense of humor is very much needed in India.
Well, indispensable, but not only in India, you know. Sometimes it's better to laugh than cry, isn't it? Right? So don't expect too much and remember rule number 3. India is a lot of fun, so be ready for the worst.
And hope for the best.
And hope for the best, definitely.
Great. Kinga, thank you once again for being here with us.
Pleasure.
For more funny, interesting, or weird and wonderful facts and anecdotes about India, listen to the next episode with Kinga Litinska, the author of India, Same Same But Different. If you're curious to know how to get the world's cheapest VIP seats, or what remedy Kinga suggests before Indianness sweeps you off your feet, stay tuned. To find out more about Kinga as a traveler and author, visit her on www.kingalitinska.com, where you can find book excerpts, a quiz on Asian peculiarities, and also plenty of beautiful, realistic photos of people, food, architecture, nature, and fascinating places that she has visited in her travels around China, Russia, Central and Southeast Asia. This has been Michelle de Gouveia talking with Kinga Litinska.